Praise God. Thank the Lord. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. We just, again, count it a privilege to be here and looking forward to seeing what God's going to do. And I was impressed to see such a great number of young people in this church. That's awesome. And that's a blessing to the church, and it shows things is going like it's supposed to go. And, of course, we appreciate the elders as well and everyone else in between. And may the Lord bless you. And just I encourage you to come back to every service that you possibly can. You never know what God's going to do, and you don't want to miss it. You want to be part of it. We're going to read to you this morning from Hebrews chapter number 2. You're welcome to stand while we read. We'll be reading three verses, first three verses of this chapter. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Before you're seated, would you pray and ask the Lord to help us preach a word of life today? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I humble our heart before you today, Lord. I yield this body to you today, Lord, these lips of clay for your service today, Lord. We praise you for the power of your presence we already feel in the service. God, for the worship that has went up, Lord, to exalt your name, Lord, we pray, Lord, that the saints be edified, the sinner be touched. Oh, God, that your perfect will would be done, God. Lord, we glorify you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for your presence. Your will be done in Jesus' name, and let the church say amen. Amen. Praise God. Lord, being my helper this morning, for a few minutes, I'd like to take your thoughts to verse number 3. Look at this with me, if you will. How shall we escape if we neglect? And then get this phrase right here, simple little phrase. So great salvation. So great salvation. That's what I want to preach about this morning. So great salvation. How many will agree with me it is so great? Amen. It is so great. I love the way the author here, we believe it to be the Apostle Paul, but we're not for sure of that, but uses this little word so in that phrase to express the greatness of God's glorious plan of salvation by saying it is so great. Can anybody tell me how great is so great? When you say it's so great, how great is that? It's an expression. It's kind of hard to define, isn't it? It's like trying to define how big is big. Amen. How big is big? So, especially when you say so big. When you say so big, it's hard to express. Or how high is so high? Or how much is so much? Or how fast is so fast? And the list goes on. How good is so good? Not long ago, we were visiting with our oldest son, David, and his family, and he was having a little cookout, and when we pulled up, the grill was going again, and as we pulled up, he was fixing steaks for us, and after he got done, he said, I hope these are good, but I want to tell you, after I got a hold of one, it was so good. What I mean, it was so tender, and it was so juicy. This is the wrong thing to be talking about right before lunch, isn't it? But it was just so good, so tender. I mean, when I express so tender, I mean, how tender is so tender? Or how juicy is so juicy? Well, it just was. Over in the Bedford, Indiana area, there's a sister there by the name of Sister Sheila Thompson. And she makes cinnamon rolls that are just out of this world. Now, you can tell I like food. Y'all like food? Just hang with me a little while. And she makes these cinnamon rolls. They are so good. I mean, they're so sweet. and they're so fluffy they'll just almost melt in your mouth. Anybody hungry yet? Praise God. And then you can use this expression in many other things, like when a wife looks over at her husband and she says, I love you so much. I mean, how much is so much? And he looks back at her and he says, you're so beautiful. I mean, maybe we should have a marriage deal this morning. But anyway, I was thinking about that, how we use this word so much. In each of these cases, the word so is used to expand upon, to enlarge the meaning. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul was doing here, at least in part, when he said this salvation is so great salvation. He's expressing the greatness of God's great plan. And this two-word phrase, actually, so great, comes from a Greek word meaning so vast, so great, so mighty. Someone might ask, what makes God's plan of salvation so great? I'm glad you asked, because I really can't express it all, but I would like to express some of it. God's plan of salvation is so great because its author is so great, number one. Its author is so great. The author is God. God is the author of the plan of salvation. And who is greater than God? David said it this way, Psalms 95, verse number 3, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. I mean, there is none holier than he. There is none higher than he. There is none more mightier than he. Amen. Thank God. There's an old spiritual song that we used to sing years ago. He's so high, you can't get over him. He's so wide, you can't get around him. He's so low, you can't get under him. You got to come in at the door. Amen. Well, he's so great today. God is so great because he's omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, omniscient. Amen, meaning he's all-knowing, and omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at all times. I mean, who's so great as our God? Wasn't that what David said in Psalm 77, 13? Who is so great a God as our God? I love what Genesis 1 and 1 says. In the beginning, God. God created the heavens and the earth. John said it this way. Chapter 1, verse number 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It was God that said, let there be light, and there was light. It was God that said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs, and the earth did. And it was God that said, let the waters bring forth moving creatures, and they brought forth. It was God that painted the sky blue and the clouds white. Amen. And the trees green. It was God that made the birds to fly and the fish to swim and the frog to jump. And the one that made the water wet and the fire hot and the ice cold. I mean, I could go on talking about him. It was he who reached down in the dust of the earth and formed an image like unto his own and breathed breath in this man, and man became a living soul. Surely a God so great that he could do all of those things. Amen. And his power and his might is a God that can make a way of salvation so great that nothing else in the world could ever compare to it. It's so great a salvation because its author is so great. It's so great also because the price of it that was paid is so great. John 3:16, we know it well. Y'all help me preach today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, I didn't mean to run over that so quickly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, anybody, amen, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God just didn't love the world. He so loved the world. And he proved the world that he loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross. Amen. In our place for our sins. Amen. He went through so much to save us. Amen. The lashes on his back. The nails in his hands and his feet. The crown of thorns upon his head. Amen. And he that knew no sin became sin for us and bore our sins in his body on the tree. And why did he do it? All because he loved us so much and he cared about us so much. The Father loved us so much he gave us his Son, and the Son loved us so much he gave us his life. And both of them gave what they gave so that excited today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Which brings me to another point. Another reason why this salvation is so great is because it is a universal salvation. Amen. For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, meaning men and women, amen, of all nations, kindreds and tongues, no matter what their ethnic background, no matter whether red, yellow, black and white, amen, they are precious in His sight. Male and female, young as well as old, poor as well as rich. The drunkard, the drug addict, the murderer, the manslayer, the harlot, the heartless, the meanness. Amen, the backslider, the hypocrite, the abortionist, and whoever. He died for them all. He loves them all. He cares about them all. He made a way for them all. That's what makes this salvation so great. Amen. It includes everybody. It reaches out to everybody. It's not for an exclusive group. It includes the whole. Thanks be to God. Aren't you glad for Him? I said that He saves the young as well as the old. My youngest son pastors a church at Burlington, Kentucky right now, but he was 4 years old when he got saved. We were holding a revival service up in New York, in the Silver Springs area, close to Buffalo. And there during that meeting, one night, the Spirit of the Lord was being poured out. The altar call had been given. Many had came to pray. And the pastor's daughter-in-law was getting filled with the Holy Ghost on one side of the building. Amen. I looked down, and when I did, my youngest son, Tim, was laying on a pallet under the front pew. And I seen that he was crying. I thought with all the shouting and the hollering and the rejoicing that was going on, maybe, amen, he was disturbed by it. I went to him. I said, Tim, what's going on? What's bothering you, son? And with tears running down his face, he said, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I said, well, get right up here. Let's pray. And he turned around, buried his little elbows right into the padding on that front pew, and he began to pray and call on Jesus. Now, I know there are some say that children that young can't know, but if the Spirit deals with them, let it go. Let God do what He wants to do. Amen. But he prayed till he prayed and lifted his hands up in the air and said, thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. At the close of that service, the pastor asked if anybody wanted to testify. And then he turned and looked at Tim and his little bitty guy and said, you want to testify? He walked right up front, took the microphone and testified and thanked the Lord for coming into his heart. Amen. But so the Lord can touch little children. Amen. Doesn't matter who they are. He can touch aged people. Amen. That's lived in sin their whole lifetime. He's preaching a meeting in little Cincinnati, Indiana, over in the Bedford area. And I remember one Sunday morning, amen, there was an elder gentleman that come walking in. The meeting had already been going on for several days, but he come walking in, sat down in the back of the church. They had a few songs and began to take up prayer requests or whatever they was doing at that point. Amen, I remember this older gentleman standing up. He was 84 years old. He stood up and he said, I've never been saved, but God's been dealing with me. I've come here to get saved. He said, I'm not able to kneel at that altar up there, but if I could come and sit on it and pray, I'd like to come. The pastor invited him up before the preaching ever was given and an altar call was ever given. The Holy Ghost was dealing, and 84 years of sin got wiped out in a moment of time because this salvation is so great. I'm telling you, it can save the little one. It can save the old one. Amen. I was talking there a minute ago and mentioned how that He can save the drunkard and the drug addict. I had an uncle, my mother's brother, that lived in sin for years and indulged in alcohol. He was an alcoholic. It just wreaked havoc in his life. He had had a terrible divorce in his younger days and he just couldn't get over it. He turned to alcohol to try to get past it and deal with it. When this went on for years, he drank and he drank until he just destroyed his health. Even destroyed the way he would think. He couldn't even think straight anymore. That's what the things of this world to do for people. Amen. That's what alcohol was doing to him. He got in such bad shape, Brother Clifford, that he was in the hospital. Amen. They was having to tie him down to the bed. They had him in a straitjacket. Amen. Because he was so violent. Because he couldn't think straight. And they was trying to get him dried out. And all of that was going on. And I remember my mom, a good praying woman, was praying for him. And her mother, my grandmother, this man's mother, Uncle Peyton's mother, she was praying for him. And then they were just asking God to move and work a miracle in Peyton's life. Because he's going to leave this world before long if he didn't get a hold of something or something get a hold of him. But nonetheless, amen, my grandma went into the hospital one day to see him. And when she walked in the room expecting him to be strapped down the bed was empty. Amen. And then she looked around, didn't see him anywhere, and went to the nurse's station and said, Peyton's not in the bed. Where have y'all got him at? Said, yes, he is in the bed. The nurse, or grandma said, no, he's not. He's not in the bed. So they went in the room, and then everybody started running around. They was looking for Uncle Peyton. Somehow or another, he had made his way, amen, to a restroom and had him a can of shaving cream and a razor and was standing there shaving and in his right mind. Amen. They asked him, how in the world did you get out of the bed? He said, Jesus let me out of the bed. Amen. He said, I had a visit from the Lord, and the Lord saved my soul and changed my life. Amen. God dried him out. God saved his soul. And I'm talking about his salvation. It's so great. He reached down to the drunkard. Amen. To a man that's at the end of his rope. Amen. And save his soul. I remember one Wednesday night, I believe it was. It may have been a Sunday, but I remember I was on my way to church and the Spirit of God prompted me to go visit a backslider. How many knows he loves a backslider? The Lord loves a backslider. The Spirit prompted me to go to visit this man. Well, I kind of argued with the Lord just a little bit. Please forgive me. But I said, Lord, it's almost church time. I got to be there to start service, have the doors open, have everything ready. Amen. He said, go visit this man. I just kept driving toward the church. Again, I felt prompted of the Holy Ghost to go. And so, amen, I began to make excuses again. Finally, I just gave in. I called somebody else and I said, you go open and you be ready to run the service and take care of things. And I feel like the Lord's wanting me to go visit someone and I need to go. And of course, I was pastor, and that was kind of unusual for me to do that during church time. But nonetheless, amen, I went on. When I got to the man's house, his car was in the driveway. So I went to the door and knocked on the door. And when I knocked on the door, there was no answer. I knocked again and no answer. I thought, well, he must not be here. And I got ready to leave and just kept feeling it strong. So I knocked on the door again. And when I knocked on it harder, it came partially open, just kind of open a little bit. And I shouted through the door. I said, Robert, are you home? And then I didn't hear anything, so I just pushed the door on open and stepped inside. I said, Robert, are you home? And then I heard him speak from a back room. He said, I'm in the bathroom taking a shower. I'll be right out. Just wait. And so he finished his shower, and he got dressed and came out. We sat and talked a little small talk for a little bit, and I said, Robert, I'm here on business for the King. I come to tell you that Jesus still loves you. He was a backslider. He'd been through a lot of things. He'd been hurt and a lot of things had happened. His life was in trouble. And I said, the Lord still loves you. And he said, I don't know. And we kept on talking. And finally, it wasn't long as I began to lift up Jesus and talk to him about his soul. Tears began to run down his face. I said, he's dealing with you right now, Robert. You want to pray? And so he said, yes, I do. And we knelt down by Robert's couch sofa there. And begin to pray. It wasn't long till Robert had his hands up in the air, glorifying the Lord. Jesus had wiped out his sins. He came home as a prodigal son to meet the Father again. And the Father was there for him. Thanks be to God. As I started to walk out the door, he said, before you leave, I want to show you something. He said, come here in the kitchen. So I went in the kitchen with him. When I walked into the kitchen, there was a big blue tarpaulin on the floor. And there was a high-powered rifle laying up against the table. I said, what's this? He said, I was in there taking my last shower when you knocked on the door. I decided I couldn't make it anymore and I didn't want to live anymore. But God sent you here and things has turned around. I said, praise be to God, this salvation is so great that it'll see a man when he's at the end of his rope and said, I've got to reach for him one more time. Aren't you glad for such a salvation? Why, it'll work right here in this place this morning. It'll touch somebody's life right here today. Amen. Praise be to God. I remember being called to the hospital to visit a man on his deathbed, one of the sisters of the church. She had a brother, lived a life of sin up in his 70s, never had prayed, never had hardly went to church at all. But he was there on his deathbed. And when I went to visit him, I walked in the room. His nurse was, our niece was sitting at the side of the bed in a chair holding his hand. He was unresponsive. He had been in a coma for several days. And so I just stepped up to the bedside and introduced myself and talked to the niece there just a little bit. And I said, be all right if I spoke to him. And so I stepped, she said yes, and I stepped up to the side of the bed. And I said, James, this is Pastor Webb. I'm your sister's preacher, Barbara Hartledge. And as I called out her name, he opened up his eyes. He had been in a coma for several days. I said, James, I don't know how much time you got, but I know the Lord sent me here to tell you that he loves you and he wants to save you. Would you like to be saved today? And he nodded his head. After he nodded his head, I said, let's pray. He prayed the sinner's prayer. I prayed with him. He prayed himself, called upon the name of the Lord. And after we got done praying, I felt a peace. But I asked him, I said, is Jesus come into your heart, James? And he nodded his head, yes, and said, yes, he did. Amen. Jesus came. He went right back out into that coma. That was the last thing that he said. Amen. Was yes, he did. Praise God. That's so great. Salvation reached down there right in the nick of time. Pulled that soul out of sin to keep him away from the fire. I'll tell you, God will do it for young men. He'll do it for old men. He'll do it for young ladies. He'll do it for an old lady. It makes no difference with God. God loves all. He's not willing that any should perish. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost today. My God, the Spirit of the Lord wants to touch somebody's heart. Hallelujah. He saved the woman at the well. Amen. When her life was at the end. That's actually the word Sychar, that city. Amen. Means the end. She was at the end of her rope when she come to the well that day. But praise be to God, Jesus came to her when she was at the end. Amen. Forgave her of a life of sin. Put something in her life that she had to tell everybody else about. Praise be to God. Amen. This salvation so great it saved the tax collector Zacchaeus. Amen. The demonic man of Gadara. The thief on the cross. The religious man Saul of Tarsus. And the list goes on. I could tell you about people all day I know got saved because this salvation so great. I could tell you about those in the Bible that got saved because this salvation is so great. But I'll tell you what I'm here to say this morning is to tell somebody in this house, he's here to save you. Praise God. If you're a backslider, he's here to bring you back home. Amen. Say, oh, but it can't do it for me, preacher. It can do it for you. Sister Gail, get ready to come. Thank you. And if musicians, if you will, come and help her this morning. As we get ready for invitation, I remember some years ago we were invited to preach at a maximum security prison in Alabama. And while we were there, we had the opportunity to preach to the death row inmates. They led a group of them out of their cells to come in this one large cell, and I was asked to preach. And I talked to the brother that was over. I said, brother, I've never preached to such people before. These are hardened criminals. He said, just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus. So when it come my time, I stepped up and I just preached Jesus. The hope of the world. He is, isn't he? Amen. I noticed during that crowd of men as they stood as a half in a half circle against the far wall of the cell, there was this one man with tattoos all over his face and tattoos all over his arms. I mean, he's a rough looking character. They were all rough, but I mean, he showed it. But when I give the invitation, out of all those men that were standing there, he was the one that stepped out. Without blinking an eye, he was walking straight for me. I didn't know if he was going to punch my lights out or he was going to pray. I didn't know. But when he got to me, tears busted out of his eyes and he said, "Preacher, I've been looking for this all my life. God, forgive me for what I've done. God, forgive you, son." Amen. And Kenny Thomas knelt down right there. A man that was on death row knelt down right there in front of all those other men and asked Jesus to come into his life. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's son, cleansed him from all sin. After that revival was over, about a couple months or so later, I got a letter from him with a paper clipping. And that paper clipping was a picture of him. And the caption was, "Model Prisoner." And as I read the article, the reason he was called a model prisoner, because he changed so much. He was getting along with everybody. He was doing everything he was supposed to do. He was a changed man. If you want to be a changed person today, you need to get this great salvation. I can't tell you how great it is, except say it's so great. It's so great, it'll work for you. Amen. You say, "But I don't have any money." You come without money, according to Isaiah. Amen. Come without money. That's one reason why it's so great. Amen. You don't have to have a dime in your pocket or a dollar in a bank to get it. Praise be to God. You can come without money and without price. Amen. It's a gift from God. That's what Paul said. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God." It's given. It's free. It's for you. And you can have it. Amen. And praise God. Out of all the things I could say, what makes this salvation so great to me is because it saved me. Saved me when I was just a young person. Got me on the right road. And I'll tell you, it's good living for God. It's so great to me because it saved my spouse as a little girl and brought us together as Christians. It's so great to me. It saved all three of my sons and called them into the ministry. So great, I'm telling you. Some people act like they have the worst time living for God, but I'm telling you, I'm having a great time living for God. I'm not telling you it's all easy, but I can tell you it's wonderful living for the Lord. There's mountains to face. There's valleys to go through. There's battles to come against. But in the midst of all that, there's somebody standing by me all the time. Woo! He is so great. He is so great. Praise God. Need I go on? Stand with me here. I preach in my heart today. So great, I can't really explain it, but I can tell you can experience it. How many has experienced this great salvation? Isn't it so great? Isn't it so great, young folks? Praise God. Isn't it so great, moms and dads? Isn't it so great? It's so great. It's so great. It's for you. It's for you. If you're here today and you don't have it, you can have it. Say, "What I got to do to get it?" Come to the Lord and call upon His name. Repent of your sins. Turn your back on the world. Open up your heart to Jesus. Amen. Let the Lord do the rest. Praise God. You may say, "But preacher, I'm afraid I can't change." Well, you can't change yourself, but I know a man that can do a work in your life that is so great. Amen. Things are always, amen, may never be any different that you feel like, but I'll tell you, it can be different by the grace of God.